Galatians chapter number 5. Let's get serious for a few moments. Galatians chapter 5. And let's start in verse number 12. I'm not sure how far to read here, but we're going to be looking at much of this chapter, the rest of it. Galatians chapter number 5. My question tonight, what is the Christian's relationship to the law? Interesting thought. What is our relationship to the law? Verse number 12 says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Wahoo! How? As thyself. Yeah. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed, ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, interesting how he follows this up. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth against the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. We have the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that you just open our hearts, our minds to your blessed word, to your will. Lord, I pray tonight we'd be willing to do what you say. Not what we think, but what you say. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, let me say this. The law of God is very good. How do you know that? Because God gave it. God gave it. It's very good. Matter of fact, I believe that it reveals two things very vividly. One thing is that it reveals the holiness of God. He has strict boundaries of righteousness and of unrighteousness. And we find that Jesus Christ proved that He is God by keeping that law completely and entirely. So we find that it reveals His holiness. It reveals that there are certain things that God thinks is wrong and certain things that God thinks is right. And some people, they say, well, all God says is thou shalt not. Well, then He's also saying thou shalt. What He's saying is these are things that are wrong. These things are unrighteous. But it also reveals something else, and that is the sinfulness of man. Because as we look at the same list of laws and we examine our own lives, we find that we are guilty of those things. Matter of fact, we are totally incapable of keeping even one fragment of it. Did you hear that? We are incapable of keeping even one fragment of it. Somehow we've got this idea that we are inherently good and that all we have to do is just kind of fan the flames of goodness and boy, we'll just become tremendous individuals. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The only way we are good, the only way we are perfect, and I know what Doc's saying when he's saying it, is in Christ Jesus. And in Him we can be good, in Him we can be perfect, and God sees you and I, really He sees Christ, and He sees us in Him. What a blessedness that is. But in and of ourselves, there's nothing that is good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I, we cannot do anything right. Matter of fact, the law of God really has a purpose for mankind in showing us the holiness of God and thus showing us the sinfulness that we have. It is to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Chapter 3, verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. In our school, Miss Christina is our teacher, and what is she doing there? She is directing kids toward the truth. She's the schoolmaster, directing them towards the truth. And the law of God is directing us to the truth that God is holy and we are unholy. Directing us to the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and if we will believe in Him, we can be saved. How glorious is that? Now, these Galatians had experienced the great forgiveness of their sin. And thus, they had had their souls saved. They were saved individuals. The penalty of the law was no longer applicable to them. I no longer will have to be separated from God for an eternity for my sin. Now, my body will die, and my body, my soul will be separated if the rapture don't occur before. And my body will go to the grave, my soul go with me of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. By the way, it says is, present tense. In other words, you go out of one, you go to the other. Okay? And it's, I think, instantaneous. We don't have to go through a place called purgatory. We don't go out into somewhere where we float around. That's not it. We're immediately in the presence of God. So if you have a loved one tonight who has passed away and they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you went to the funeral, they weren't there. And their body was, but they weren't. They were present with the Lord. Amen? And so we say hallelujah to that. So the penalty of the law no longer is applicable. But there were those who came along in the lives of these Galatians. And as they came to them, they sought to give them rules and regulations that really were not needful for a new convert. And particularly, we find one thing they wanted them to do. And they wanted them to do this in order to either get or to keep their salvation. By the way, He's the one that made it possible, and when you accept it, He's the one that keeps it. You don't even have to keep your salvation. You don't hold on to it. He holds on to you. Amen? Matter of fact, in John chapter 10, it talks about that he grabs one hand and Christ grabs with the other, basically. And it's not a matter of me holding on to Him. One time I watched a man, he had one or two child, and there was a very busy intersection in Linwood, Washington. And it was four lanes, they met at this traffic light. And there was like a million cars, sometimes a million and a half, that would come to that intersection at once. And the light would turn, and you know, then they could turn left, and boy, it was nuts. And rush time, it was horrible. And so there was this guy on foot, and he comes up to this light. And of course, then they sometimes have the walk lights, and sometimes they don't. I don't remember if they had a walk light or not. But I saw something that reminded me of this particular thing, this truth. He did not reach his hand down, nor would you do this if you came to a busy intersection. Nor would you reach your hand down and say, I'm sorry, I'll take my little finger here. Grab a hoe. We're going to go across this busy street. Are you going to leave that up to the keeping of that child to the child's own strength? What could happen? They could slide off, couldn't they? A wise parent, and God is a wise parent, grabs us. So the keeping is up to Him. See? And that guy grabbed that child's arm. Matter of fact, there might have been bruises on the wrist time they got across that street, busy as it was. And so there we have. Listen, God, He's the one that keeps us. But here they come, they say, hey, you've got to do something. And what they were telling them, go back to verse number 1, and we'll see it here. It says, stand fast, he says, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage, what is that? That is the consequences of the law. That's its judgment. Jail time, if you please. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to the whole law. They were saying, hey, you need to follow and be like a Jew and get circumcised. And Paul's saying, no, you've been set free. You don't have to do something to get it or to keep it or anything else. You have liberty. We make a little bit of an application here. Oftentimes, older Christians impose rules of conduct upon those who've just gotten saved. And it's interesting sometimes the things we impose upon them. And we expect them, they got saved last week and next week, they better have their hair cut, they better have their shoes on just right, they better have their clothes just right, they better be looking right and smelling right, all those things right. Yeah, you were too, weren't you? But we impose those things upon people. And matter of fact, many times we put them right back in the same bondage. We have liberty. Now, he does warn something. We're not talking about liberty to sin. God never liberates us to sin. He liberates us from sin. Okay? Notice verse 13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use... ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you and I, we're not to, what? Operate in the flesh. What's the flesh? That's the old desires. That's the old nature. And he warns that liberty is not whereby we're going to operate by those sinful desires. Matter of fact, if we aren't careful and we impose crazy rules upon one another and we start, you know, not following the law of liberty, which is the law of love, we're going to destroy each other. Interesting concept we have here. And so you and I, we get saved, and it's not that we go through a whole bunch of rules. It's we're saved to have liberty to follow God, by the way, not liberty to sin. We've been set free. Set free from the consequences of sin, the power of sin. We've been set free. And so he tells us something here, how we are to do this, how this freedom is to work. Notice verse number 16. I believe one of the most important verses in the Bible for a Christian. He says, walk in the what? Walk in the Spirit. And what's it say with it? And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have love as an operating principle. And as we allow that love to be the operating principle, we are then walking in the Spirit of God and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're to walk in Him. Think about Colossians for a moment, chapter 1, verse 27. And he speaks of the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. And he says this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's try to paint a picture for a moment. When you get saved, now this is a review, I think. Maybe it's new for some, but it's probably pretty much a review. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within. What, know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? He comes and lives within us. Okay? So now you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, whether or not He has the control, that's the next issue. But you are indwelt by Him. Okay? Now, what do we know? We know when we get saved, we still have the flesh. The flesh. What's one of your biggest desires? You like to sleep. I thought she would say ice cream. By the way, candy bars and ice cream, if you eat them first, will help reduce. Did I tell you this? It will help reduce your appetite. If you eat it before you eat your meal, you won't eat as much food. So it's a good diet. Okay? You like that? Okay. Oh, by the way, if it's really hot and you got, you know, a little quart of ice cream, or you got a candy bar, it's really, really, really hot, and you're afraid it might melt before you get home, just eat it. Okay? But we have desires. And we have desires to eat. Is there anything wrong with eating? No. Is there anything wrong with sleeping? No. But there can be. There can be some wrong things. Isn't that true? I can think of some things that are wrong to drink. I believe alcohol is wrong to drink. A lot of Christians say, well, you take it in moderation. I love what I heard this week. Oh, okay, if that's true, then we can do adultery in moderation. We can do killing in moderation. We can steal in moderation. No big deal. No. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging thereby. That's God's principle. And what's the best thing to do? Leave it alone. Okay? He said, well, the Bible says they drank wine. The word wine stands for grape juice. Sometimes just the juice. Once in a while, it's referring to the alcohol content. By the way, when it says wine is a mocker and strong drink raging thereby, we need to look at the context. It makes it very clear that's an alcoholic wine. Okay? So, that'd be wrong. Okay? Our flesh. Listen, you've been saved and you drank before. You still have a desire. And once in a while when you get saved, there's certain desires that leave you right away. But there's certain things that didn't. Okay? I know people here, by their very testimony, have told me that after they were saved, they still drank. Yeah. I had a good friend that he said he'd been saved 3 weeks, and then he just wanted a beer. He said, I stopped the beer joint like I always had before. He said, I sat down, but I'd started doing something a little bit different since I got saved. He said, I began to pray for my meal. And he said, I bowed my head to pray and asked God to bless this beer. He said, I tried for 30 minutes to ask God to do that. And he said, I got up and left and never had one since. But seriously, you know what I'm trying to say? Our body has desires. Now, that flesh has a lot of desires that are not right. Isn't that true? Because that's what it is. So we get saved. We got the Holy Spirit living in us. We still got the flesh. We got a conflict, don't we? Okay? We have a conflict. And so here's this conflict that's going on. And what does God say to do? Walk in the Spirit. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. If we're walking in the flesh, we're going to get in trouble. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The key to overcoming our flesh is walking in the Spirit. Now I want to share with you tonight a few basic truths about walking in the Spirit. First of all, it is about our positive doing. Flesh is negative doing. Notice what it says in verse number 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and on it goes. The Spirit, however, is about the positive. And makes it very clear in verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And he lists there 9 fruit of the Spirit. The Christian who is walking in the Spirit is not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If he's walking and allowing God to lead him, it's in a joyous union with Him. Let's put it in this respect. My mama, when I was growing up, she believed that she kept me busy doing what was right, I wouldn't have time to do what was wrong. Pretty simple little philosophy, amen? Yeah. By the way, that's why, you want to keep your busy kids doing things, busy doing things that are right. Because they're prone to do things that are wrong. And so we walk in the Spirit. And that is doing the right thing. Now, I've got a good Christian brother and a good Christian sister here. They've just been saved, or they're new in the Lord, they're young in the Lord. And I can do one of two things to them.
I can come up to them and I can say, you quit doing that, and you quit doing this, and you quit doing that, and boy, you just... Or I can. Don't you love sitting in the front row because I pick you on me all the time? Or I can, if I'm walking in spirit, grab their hand and have them walk with me. Getting them busy going the right direction. You know what we do too many times as Christians? We spend more time beating down Christians rather than grabbing their hand and walking in the spirit with them. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it makes sense to me, and I hope it does to you. Because that's the direction that we can go. Listen, the inner life of the Spirit's fruit is going to be tremendous for you and for me. Matter of fact, it will be that which compels us. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, for the love of Christ constraineth me. It's about walking in the Spirit. Now I want to ask you a question. Does your Christian life seem dull? I mean, you come to church, you sit in church. Oh, I wish he'd hurry up and go home. I got better things to do. Go to church. Read your Bible, pray. Do this, do that, do the other thing. Big set of rules to you. It's not a joy. Walking in the Spirit is what. Go have a fruit. It's called joy. And look at that person and look what they're doing. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Not beat them down. Pull them up. Amen. By the way, when you're pulling, you're helping them to see that what they're doing is wrong too. What's a blessed spot? And we get stuck in this rut. And we're walking according to the flesh. We're doing what we want to do. And we're not allowing the Spirit of God to direct us. Which brings me to another point. And one we need to think about very, very specifically. If we're walking in the Spirit of God, we are walking in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Who gave us the Word? God. Of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who moved upon the souls of men to write down His Word? For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Allowing the Word of the Spirit to direct our path. What does that mean? That means this book becomes our authority in practice. Here's one we talked about this morning. What's it say in Hebrews? Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as the manner of some is. Is that in the Bible? Did God write it? Oh, there's some people who say, well, I don't forsake the assembly. I go here one day, and one day I go that, and another day I go here. Oh, yeah, you're really involved. God wrote to specific churches. Gave them specific instructions. Put the people under specific pastors and had them doing specific deeds in specific locations. It's not up to us. And so we'll follow His Word. We'll do what He said. If we're walking in Spirit. Amen? What's His Spirit? His Spirit is saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. And it's not cumbersome. And we want to walk in the Spirit. Listen, we have the Spirit of God living within us. And when we allow Him to have that control, here's a neat thing about it. We're loving it. We're loving it. You know who miserable Christians are? Those who are controlling themselves. There's people in Open Door Baptist Church that are miserable as Christians. Because this book means nothing. You haven't opened it on your own in months, weeks, days, maybe years. You've not allowed God to take a verse of Scripture and apply it to your heart. This don't normally happen this morning. The second verse I read, boom, spoke to my heart. We need that. That won't happen when you leave it shut, will it? So I'm walking in the Spirit. Are you in the book? Because the Spirit of God directs you through the book. That's how He does it. Oh, there's these people who say, oh, the Spirit of God told me this and the Spirit of God told me that. Well, He has ways of revealing some things to us. But I'm going to guarantee you this. If it's outside the parameters of what He's revealed here, it was not the Holy Spirit that revealed it to them. Think about it. There's principles in the Word of God He's left us with. And so we follow His book. And it's not burdensome. It's something we desire. Walking in the Spirit can be a joy because what's it doing? It's producing joy. We have that wonderful fruit that's being produced, result of it. It's allowing the Word of the Spirit to direct our path. The Bible becomes our authority in all practice. We heard this week. Jeff, you remember this? 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why are we to do that? It's very simple. Because it is written. Because it is written. Who wrote it? Who's directed? If we're walking in the Spirit and He wrote it, isn't that His direction for us? He wants us to walk in holiness. And by the way, if He wants us to walk in holiness, He's going to help us to see what is holy. Interesting. One last thought. Verse 18, look at it, please. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let me put it this way. Just to paraphrase this a little bit. The flesh puts us under the law. If you want to operate in the power of the flesh, you're going to be under the law. You say, no, preacher, I've been saved, and that means I'm at liberty. Operate in the flesh, you're going to be under the law. No, I don't believe that. Pull out a gun, shoot that guy, and find out what law is going to be imposed upon you. In that case, it might not be the law of the land. It might be the law of the wife. Well, we call that in the Bible the manslayer. The one that gets vengeance. Anyways, you got to watch out for these dinky gals. But being serious, that's when we go back under the law. When are we free? When we're walking in the Spirit. That's the sense of liberty. And you know from your experience, if you've been saved very long, you know that when you're walking according to what God is desiring for you, He's leading you, He's leading you through the Word, you're sensing the leadership of His Spirit, and you have liberty. But do something according to flesh, and you find the judgment of God. You find out that there is a law there and there is punishment for disobeying the law. Notice what it says in verse number 22 and 23 again. Well, let me go back to verse number 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Is there a law against adultery? Yeah, it's one of the Ten Commandments. We could put fornication under the same one. uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. There's laws against that, isn't there? Witchcraft. Did you know the penalty for witchcraft in the Bible? You know what they were doing with a witch? Put them to death. Do you know there's 16 different crimes in the Bible that capital punishment was to be given for? Oh, we ought to do this one on Sunday morning. A mouthy child, especially when he gets in his teenage years, and he won't shut up and he's mouthy to his parents, could be turned over to the authorities in the city. They take him outside the city and stone him until he was dead. I'll guarantee you it'll take care of mouthy kids. One way or another. By the way, you know why they took them outside the city and stoned until they were dead? Because everybody threw the rocks. Everybody was in on it, so everybody would understand the punishment has a tremendous influence. But we read those. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. What do we find with all those? We find there are laws against that. Drop down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What's it say? Against such there is no law. There's where freedom is. What is the Christian's relationship to the law? Well, the law brings us into the realization that we need Christ. That's what it does. It helps us to understand that God is holy and we're unholy and we need Him as our Savior. And after we're saved, our relationship to the law is that we are free from it while we're walking in the Spirit. But quit walking in the Spirit and walk in the flesh, and we're going to have to deal with the law. And you know how we deal with the law? Either through punishment or through seeking forgiveness of it. So we're turning from it and start walking in the Spirit again. Aren't you glad God allows that? Because you and I, we have a conflict there, don't we? And we want to walk in the Spirit. And oh, the old flesh is so powerful. And the more you want to walk in the Spirit, the more powerful that flesh gets, because the devil just, somehow he just enlarges it. But God didn't say walk in the Spirit because you can't. God will allow us to do it if we want to. Really, we do it because we decide to. We make the choice, and we go in that direction. It's so hard. If we're listening to the flesh, it is hard. If we're listening to the Spirit and allowing God to strengthen us, hey, we can walk that direction. Father, tonight, bless and work in our hearts. How beautiful the picture is for us here of our relationship to your law. Lord, we know that's good. We know it's perfect. We know that it shows your righteousness, your holiness. We realize, oh God, that it shows us our sinfulness and the need of a Savior. Lord, we also know that you don't want us to walk in such a way that it must be imposed upon us. You want us to walk in the Spirit, allowing you to speak to us through your Word and to follow what it says. Just to do it. Just to do it. And Lord, we know it's our choice to do it or not. And Lord, we know that the saints of the Old Testament did it and did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And if David could live for you, certainly we can with the indwelling, with that power that's there. Lord, take away our excuses. Help us to realize and understand the beauty of walking in the Spirit and the fruit that is there for us. Bless and work in our hearts tonight. No doubt there's some needs here tonight. No doubt there's some things that need to be turned over to you to be repented of in lives. Maybe some things you've dealt with us about this week or today or whatever, maybe tonight, that we might turn from it and turn unto you and be able to walk in the Spirit. God bless and work in these moments. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd stand, please.